Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I think I can safely say that as we gather here, whether in person or via Zoom, this first Sunday of the new year, that none of you came here seeking a message that would strip away your hope. No one came here or tuned in wanting to be discouraged, desiring that someone would knock the wind out of your sail. Nobody came saying, please strip away all my motivation and discourage and defeat me. Instead, I believe you came longing for some encouragement, a desire to be uplifted in your faith. And I believe that's why we gather every Sunday via Zoom and here in person, seeking to be motivated and seeking to motivate, to help and to be helped in a world that seems at times can be filled with so much hopelessness. It can be filled with so much discouragement, with so much defeat. I want to preach today from the subject about not losing heart. Not losing heart. In the text that Shane read for us, Paul gives us some insights into staying encouraged in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not, we do not lose heart. It's really an incredible statement, for which cause we faint not. This is an amazing statement. Faint refers to failing of the heart. So the text could actually read, we do not lose heart. Paul is really suggesting that regardless of what comes our way, we don't give up and we don't give in. It's so easy to lose heart. It's so easy in our world to come to a place where you're ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to lay it down. You're ready to quit. When I think about who wrote these words, Paul, it really humbles me. Because when we examine the life of Paul in the New Testament, it seems that it would have been easy for Paul to lose heart. Years after his death, one of the writers describing him said this, he wasn't much to look at. He was bald. Wait, now watch it. He was bow-legged. He had eyebrows that met together. He wasn't strongly built. He was a man in small size with meeting eyebrows and a large nose. In 2 Corinthians, Paul actually used some words from other people who described him, and they said, he is weak in presence, in bodily presence. And it's no wonder that five times he received at the hands of Jews 40 lashes. He wrote three times. He had been beaten by rods. Once he had been stoned. Three times he had been shipwrecked. And one day and night he had been left adrift at a sea in a dangerous river. Robbers and people and Gentiles abused him. In toil and hardship, in hunger and thirst, in cold and in exposure, he was left all alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. He was also sick off and on. I preached on the text where he talked about this thorn in his flesh. Was it an addiction? Was it a pain? Was it a neighbor? Was it a family member? I don't know what it was. He had a thorn in the flesh that he couldn't get rid of, that kept him humble. Maybe it was epilepsy. Some people say it was malaria. Pray for me, I'm going to a country where malaria is prevalent. Who knows what it was? The wonder is that given all that Paul had been through, he could make this statement. He could encourage you and me not to faint. The small phrase that he uses that says don't faint is in the present tense. It's in the active voice. And Paul is really saying that I never lose heart. Now, I don't think that Paul is bragging, but rather he's making a simple statement of fact. Paul had discovered something that enabled him to be encouraged. Paul had discovered something that enabled him not to give up, even amidst the most difficult circumstances. How many of you here have never been discouraged? How many of you have never been at the point of giving up? I have not met anyone in my lifetime who's always encouraged, always excited, always energized, 24/7, 365 days of the year. We all struggle and stumble from discouragement to discouragement. We all have moments in our life where we want to stop, where we want to give up, where we are discouraged. I have had those moments in my life where I have said like Peter, and it wasn't long ago, if I had the wings of a dove, I just fly away and find me some rest from the tribulations and the trials of the world. And while leaving troubles and afflictions behind seems like the best option at times, I'm more interested in reaching this place in my life where I can say, like Paul, I will not lose heart. I spoke a few weeks ago and I said that the word shalom in Hebrew, most of us think it just means peace. But what shalom really means is that I can have peace in the midst of hell. I won't lose heart. It's a familiar statement, but it talks about a familiar struggle. It's an incredible statement. But it speaks of a struggle that each of us have as human beings. And in verse 16, Paul identifies a common struggle that you and I face and as possible reason for why we would lose heart when he says, our outward body perishes. The outer body. It refers to the parts of us which encompasses both our flesh and our mind. Our outer side is perishing. The results of aging in the body and the results of living in a world with evil and all these things can strip away our joy, strip away our peace, strip away our encouragement and cause us to want to be discouraged. And so Paul says the outer body is perishing. Perish means to rot, to ruin, to corrupt, to be destroyed. You don't need a preacher to convince you that our earthly tent is washing away in one way or another. Every day we lose a little step. I don't care if you're 16 or 61. Every day we lose a little step. Every day we experience heartbreak, sorrow, and pain. Every day we endure problems of living in a world that is filled with hate, filled with injustice, filled with evil, filled with sin and sinners. We see, we hear, we feel, and experience things that could cause each of us to lose heart. Why? Because the outward flesh is aging right before our eyes. And so what do we need? We need the gospel before us that not a therapist, not a politician, not a healthcare worker, but the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that tells us that the weight of the pain and the suffering in this world is not compared to what God has for us in eternity. The good news is that there is a master tent maker who is sewing, stitching something together for you and for me, something quite exquisite, something extraordinary. So Paul suggests a way to reach this place that though our outward body is perishing, we don't faint. that we don't lose heart, that we don't lose hope, that we don't lose our confidence, that we may still go through the motions, but we feel like, the songwriter said, going on, feel like we can make it, feel like we're connected. Because sometimes we quit inwardly, and sometimes we quit outwardly. We quit meditating, we quit eating right, we quit getting enough rest, we quit exercising, we quit going to church, we quit reading our Bible, we quit praying. And sometimes, I don't know about you, we can find it hard to believe anything or anyone, even God. The list of things that can contribute to us losing heart, feeling endless, includes failures, setbacks, challenges, injustice, disappointments. And Paul's candor about his suffering helps you and me to be honest about our suffering. Paul isn't sugarcoating it. He's saying, this is what I've been through. Now I'm giving you a platform to look at what you've been through or what you're going through. And Paul insists that in spite of what he has been through, he won't lose heart. Why? Therefore, or the why, is in verse 16, which links us to a particular point. And I tell people all the time, whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, you ought to ask, what is the therefore, therefore? And this is what Paul says. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us in this present world. Paul tells us that when our human bodily tents begin to tear down and sag, there is yet another word to be spoken. We don't lose heart. And it's a place where we can press on despite everything that is happening in us, everything that is happening to us, and everything that is happening around us. You say, how do I get to that place, Kenneth? What do I need to come to a place that I can be glad in spite of it? I'm glad you asked that question. Paul suggests it involves a simple yet essential realization. And that's what he tells us in verse 16. We're given a fresh start and fresh strength every single day. You don't have to wait for a new year to have a new start. Every single morning. I heard somebody exhale. You get a new start. Paul reminds us that even though the outward flesh is perishing, the inward spirit can still be renewed every single day. The word renew means to be renovated. Every day, the inner spirit is given new strength, new hope, new life, new possibility, new dreams. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus said it this way. What you worrying about tomorrow for? Well, that's a paraphrase. He said, tomorrow will take care of itself. Every day brings a unique challenge, but every day also comes with a measure of grace at the hand of God. Grace, 2 Corinthians, Paul says that my grace is what? Sufficient. Sufficient enough for what? Sufficient enough to take you over, sufficient enough to take you through, sufficient enough to take you around. My grace is sufficient. And every day God gives us a fresh batch of grace. Yesterday, someone said, is history. And tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. And that's why they call it present. Lamentations, the book of the Bible that most of us probably never have read or heard any sermons from, it says it this way: "This I recall to mind, therefore I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because God's compassions fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I didn't write this, but several people sent me text messages that I just said, oh, that'll fit and that'll fit. And I kind of spliced them together. And this is my closing. Announcing the boarding of flight 2025. We're prepared to take off into the new year. As we embark on this 365-day journey, close your eyes and just hear this and process it. No baggage from 2024 will be allowed on this flight. Please make sure your attitude is securely locked in an upright position. All of your self-destructive devices, negativity, hurt, discouragement were removed by the TSA, the Spirit Almighty. Should we encounter any turbulence, trouble during the flight, remember to reach up and pull down a prayer, because faith will automatically be activated. And once your faith has been activated, be ready to assist a fellow passenger in need. This is a journey where we're all together. The flight will be 12 months long. So loosen your belts, jingle and mingle, relax, because the captain has cleared us for takeoff. The destination? Greatness. Health, love, joy, harmony, well-being, and peace. We'll stop for fuel at giving and sharing and caring. And the following menu is offered and will be served during the flight: a cocktail of compassion, a bowl of empathy, a salad of serenity. And just remember, you will enjoy these meals and these journeys better if you love, if you talk, if you share, and if you smile with your fellow passengers. For this cause, we faint not. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for your faithfulness.